All right, good evening again.
Awesome.
Very good. Hey, we are in our Psalm series. We've been in it for a minute. We got two more weeks after this one, and I think it's been a good series. Has it been a good series? Well, all right, well. Hey, all right. It's counterfeit at that point. It doesn't count. So, all right. I'm going to read all of Psalm 91, and then we'll pray and we'll get into it, all right? It says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Rampart? Sure. "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray as we get started. Father, oh, as we get into your care and protection and provision, I pray tonight that you'd give us a bit more of an understanding that we can just come under the shadow of your wings. That when times get difficult, there's pain, there's loss, transition, all the different things that we may go through, help us to see how you want to be in that space. Give us a hedge of protection from the enemy and his schemes. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection and refuge and care from the Lord. It's really meant for us, especially in times of need, distress, pain, loss, those sorts of things, to just really come to Him. Because make no mistake, in John chapter 10, Jesus says it Himself. He says that He came that we would have life and have it to the full. So especially when there are times of pain, He wants to be present in there. He wants to be with you. The enemy, on the other hand, seeking after our destruction, wants us really to believe things that aren't true. And so a couple things he'll do is he'll take the scriptures and he'll misuse them, or he'll use them to accuse us. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, when he tempts Jesus Himself, which I always find ironic, like to tempt Jesus with the Word of God when He is the Word of God. I just find to be hilarious. But set that aside for a second. What He does is He starts to twist the scriptures and He starts to accuse. The same thing He does with us. The same playbook. Especially when we're vulnerable. Because Jesus was in a vulnerable state. If you hadn't eaten for 40 days, it's a vulnerable state to be in. And He wants to capitalize on that. Just like when you are in a vulnerable state. He wants to accuse and He wants to misuse the scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Starting in verse 9. "The devil led him," talking about Jesus, "to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered, 'It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test.' When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time." So again, first he will use the scriptures to accuse you, make you feel like that God's provision and his protection and his care and him being a refuge is actually contingent on what you do. Because look how he starts out the temptation. He says, if you are the Son of God, as if to say, his provision is contingent upon your own merits, you measuring up. But we got to take a step back. When Jesus starts his ministry, God the Father already says, this is my Son of whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't performed a miracle yet. He hasn't delivered a sermon yet. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't done any of that yet. But he's already well pleased with him. The enemy, what he wants you to do is to think that your position and God's presence in your life is contingent on what you do. And that's a lie. That's what he's doing here. And so what we got to do, essentially, Isaiah 40 tells us, is just simply turn towards him. Put our hope in him. Turn towards him, and we can be in the shadow of his wings and have refuge. That's basically it. The second thing he does is to misuse the word of God. That's what he does here. He says, don't you know, essentially what he's saying is, don't you know if you are the Son of God, then the Father's not going to let anything bad happen to you. That's essentially what he's saying here. But what is he doing? He's twisting the words. Because if you understand the spirit of Psalm 91, that's not really what he's saying at all. God the Father does not ever say that there will never be suffering, there will never be pain, there will never be loss. He never makes that claim. In fact, what the enemy's doing here is he's actually taking the whole thing out of context. Because if you just went a verse up, he starts quoting in verse 11. But if you go to verse 10, what God says is that no harm will overtake you. That's the difference. God never promised there wouldn't be pain. He never promised there wouldn't be suffering. But he did promise that if we are resting in the shadow of his wings, those things will never overtake us. We've got to understand that. That's the promise that he gave us. And notice, I find this funny. Notice he didn't quote the start of the chapter. The start of the chapter, he says things like this. I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. I abide in his shadow. He delivers me. He covers me with his wings. He is faithful, and I do not have to fear. He didn't quote that part. What he did was he just plucked out the part where he wanted to twist the scriptures so that there would be trust broken between the Father and the Son. And that's what he does with us. He wants to warp our theology so that we stop trusting God. And ultimately then, in that vulnerable state, we get led into destruction when we stop trusting the words of God. Jesus himself says, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's the promise, that come what may, come prison, come persecution, come loss, whatever it is, that he has overcome the world and harm will not overtake us. Or I love Psalm 16's language. It says, we will not be shaken in that. So, you might be asking, how do we put our trust in him? Or a better way maybe to ask it is, how do we not lose heart in these times of trouble? I love asking myself questions, hoping that you might be asking the same questions. Let's get into 1 Peter 5. And for context, Peter has just spoken about the elders and essentially said that the elders are to be somewhat of a representative of God's protection and provision and care over the flock, that they give just a small picture into who he is. But then in verse 5, he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So what does it mean to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand? Essentially, it's just to surrender our will to him. In challenges and hard times, just put yourself under his protection. It's kind of like, I love the imagery in Psalm 91. It's like that mother bird or father bird. I'll probably just say mother bird from now on because I don't know if father birds do this. Does anybody know? I don't know that father birds do much care for the kids. I don't know. Do you know? Penguins. Penguin fathers do? Okay, I'm not going to use penguins as an example, but it was sorry, Justin, sorry. Yeah, it's okay to be wrong. But I love I think it's verse 5, and it's essentially just saying,
if you will just come under his wing, kind of like a baby bird does with its mama when it's hurt. If you'll come under his wing, then what will happen is that mother will keep the baby under the wing until healing happens, and then one day we'll say, all right, you're ready to fly again. Let's go fly together again. This is the same thing that Jesus does for us. That just like that mama bird, whenever the storms come and things, she absorbs the wind and the rain and the debris that might come, or when the sun is scorching hot, absorbs that heat. That's the same thing that Jesus does on our behalf, is that on the cross, he took the pain and the punishment that we deserved, and in times of distress, in times of trouble, we do that exact same thing. We just come under his wing, and that's where we have protection. And when we don't do that, then what we're doing is essentially we're like that baby bird that is out in the elements, has been wounded, and just takes on the elements. It gets worse, and then wonders why they're not getting better, when the only way really to heal, the only way really to be restored and have strength again, is to come under that mama's wing. It's the same thing for us. If we ever want to have our strength renewed in times of pain, if we ever want to just see the provisions and the healing and the things that only he provides, the first thing we got to do is surrender our will to him. And by the way, so many times it's so tempting in those moments of pain to continually ask questions like, God, why'd you let this happen? And there's nothing wrong with asking that question and being real with him. Job did that. But you just don't want to stay there. You want to stay in that frame of mind, because what's going to happen is you're going to drive yourself crazy thinking, it should have been like this. It should have turned out this way. God wants us ultimately to surrender ourselves under his will, because that's when we can start to heal. That's when we can start to maybe one day be ready to have the energy to fly again. And there are many in this room, and I know it, who are going through that same kind of pain we're talking about. And I want to encourage you that if you will surrender to his will, if you will come under his wing, you will one day fly again. And that's the hope that we have. Verse 7. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We'll come back to verse 7 here in just a minute. Verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. All right, let's go back to verse 8 and 9. The enemy is looking for someone to devour. He's like a lion. And what does a lion do in the open field? He's going to go after the one who's isolated. And so many times, the trick he uses when we go through pain is to make us feel isolated. And guys, each one of us is very unique, all right? We have been uniquely knit together in our mother's womb. There's nobody else like us, and praise God for that. We are so unique. But what's not unique is our suffering and pain. The enemy wants us to think that it is, and that nobody else has ever gone through what it is that we are going through. The reality, though, is, like Peter says, there's so many people who have come before us and maybe even are just ahead of us or are going through it right now, and they can empathize with you, and they can be with you, and they can walk you through these things. That's why he says, you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. There are many people who've gone through what you're going through and have actually come out the other side with healing and have flown once again. I think one of the biggest shames, honestly, in our culture today is that we are not really much of an honor culture. Like the older generations, there ought to be a reverence and esteem for those who are older than us. Why? One of the reasons is because there is so much lived experience that we can just go to them and say,
Look, I've experienced loss. You bet the generations older than us have experienced loss. Things like relationship issues or financial strain or those kinds of things. Man, I'm just telling you that there is a fellowship of believers who have been through the same things that you've been through. And I know when I went through panic disorder, when I realized other people have gone through it and come out the other side and been free from it and healed from it, man, that brought so much just goodness to my soul to know and understand that. Don't feel alone in your struggle. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you're alone in your struggle. There are many people in this church. I mean, can we testify to that, that we've got each other's backs in times of distress and trouble and pain? There's no doubt about it. So lean on each other. Always lean on each other. You're not alone. Your brothers and sisters have got your back when you're going through something. Let's go back to verse 7. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast as into put it all on him. Put it on his shoulders. Take the load off of our shoulders and put it on his. And anxiety here is like being pulled all kinds of different directions. I mean, you know what it's like, parents. You know, you think about your kids and you're like, are they ever going to stop throwing crackers on the floor? Are they ever going to stop doing this? Or is my, I was thinking, I don't know why I thought about this example just now, but like, is my husband ever going to stop the annoying breathing habits that he has? I don't know why, but that's a big argument I feel like couples have where it's like, why are you breathing so loud? But there's so many things, silly things, but also very serious worries and anxieties that we have that are taking us all kinds of different directions. And the invitation from God is cast all those things onto him. He wants to absorb those things, and as we just simply surrender ourselves to him under his will, we cast all those things on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Because he cares for who? He cares for us. In fact, let's just do this. Exercise time, all right? I want you to say, on the count of three, he cares for me. One, two, three. He cares for me. Absolutely. And notice, there are no asterisks by this. It is not, he cares for you if you stop messing it up. He cares for you if you do well enough, if you succeed, if you perform, if you stop that sin habit. If you can walk by and not grab that donut, he cares for you. That's not it. It's not it. No strings attached. He cares for you. And he says, after you have suffered a little while, God will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Man, when you go through suffering, you go through grief and loss, I don't want to minimize it because I know it's hard, but you have to know that he is the authority in this. Did you know nothing slides by God? It's a simple truth. Probably most of you know this. I didn't know this for a long time in my faith. I mean, I almost pictured God like taking a nap and the enemy just slid by him, did something, he woke up, and now he's got to figure out what to do next. It's just not the God that we have. He is the authority. Nothing slides by him. He is not surprised when bad things happen. And he's always doing good in those times. And that's why Peter says, during those times, what we've got to do is just stand firm in the faith. That we batten down the hatches. We get that wide base. We stand strong in that foundation. And we ride the storm out. Why, when death comes, why would we ever start to lose faith in the one who overcame death? That's the person that we have faith in. So we can say at the end of the day, we can truly say, come what may. And our faith doesn't have to be shaken because the reality is he is above it all. Death no longer claims us. Praise God. Man, I don't know how you come in. I know a lot of us come in a lot of different ways here tonight. And some of you I know are going through a lot of pain. all I'm asking you to do is be like that little baby bird who comes under mama's wings and rests and sits in the presence of the mama and starts to heal and be restored and renewed. And then one day, that mama's going to say, let's go fly again because you've healed. And you got to know that if you rest in the shadow of his wings, there will be a day that you will fly again. Because he is over it all. Surrender to his will. Submit to his will in all you do. And he will renew your strength. Strength is coming in his name. Let's pray. Father, oh, we thank you for the reality of your grace. Thank you that even like if we mess it up, you still just say, come under my wings. I'll restore you. I'll renew your strength. I'll help you heal. And so, Father, I pray that this will be a place where you get your way in us. I pray that the prayer that we will continually pray is not my will, Father, but your will be done. And in those times of trouble, in those times of pain, when the enemy starts to accuse or misuse the scriptures, I pray that you'll give us the understanding and the awareness to go, no, 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 that's a lie. All I really got to do is put my hope in the Lord, and he will renew my strength. So, Father, would you protect those who are going through so much loss and pain? Would you renew their spirit? Would you help them to experience your comfort and your presence and your peace that surpasses all understanding? And, Father, for those who come in tonight and, man, they're just not in that kind of season, I pray, would you help them to kind of remember this moment in time? When undoubtedly the storms do come, to be prepared with a battle plan to say, I surrender to your will. I come under the shadow of your wings, Father. Father, would you use that? Would you use that surrender in a great way like only you can? Father, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship some more together.